Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
Well, good evening on this beautiful fall evening in Houston, Texas, and welcome to Breaking the Silence. And I'm Greg Williams, and I just want to welcome you to the program tonight. I tell you what, put your seatbelts on and fasten them tight because we're going to have a jam-packed show. Two great guests is going to be here this evening, and they have some awesome information. I would imagine if I'm a betting man, we're all going to be talking as fast as we can to get as much information out there as we can. So you may want to grab a notepad and a pencil just to write down some knowledge that they're going to give you tonight, but it's just going to be a great evening. I want to tell you what, I just love living where I live in Houston, Texas, the most beautiful city in the world, by the way, and also the home of the Houston Astros, and we're heading towards the World Series, so you got to be excited about that. So go Astros and just go ahead and beat those Washington Nationals as fast as we can and get that series over with in the World Series. So congratulations not only to the Astros but to their integrity of the kind of players that they are and the God-fearing players that they are. It just makes me proud that Houston Astros represents our city, and they do a wonderful job at that. Before we get our first guest on tonight, Lisa Floyd, we're going to, I really want to invite you to make sure, and Doug, you may want to just gear up and make sure all the electricity is running through the station next week, because it's going to be the biggest show that I think we'll ever probably do, because we're going to have Jane Stevens, the founder and the publisher of ACEs Connection. She is the woman with ACEs Connection, and she has all the knowledge, and she's going to be our guest for the entire hour next week. And literally, I think all the ACEs Connection world will be there too, will be listening to us, so it will probably be by far one of our most popular shows. So let's all gear up for that, and that'll be next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Central Time, right here with Breaking the Silence. Now, jot this number down, 888-627-6008. Both of our guests this evening, the early one and the latter one, have agreed to take phone calls. And this first guest that we have is Lisa Floyd, and she's from the awesome state of Indiana, and she is a licensed mental health counselor associate, and her specialty includes adoption. And I thought that was very interesting. I don't believe I have ever spoke to anyone that had that as their specialty and the trauma that's involved with those adoptees. And we're going to talk about that a little bit. She also is proficient and very knowledgeable in brain spotting and complex trauma. And I tell you what, she grew up in a closed adoption at birth, and she's had several issues with identity and self-esteem issues, and she's going to be talking about that. And she has co-authored, been a contributing author in two books that the titles are so long that it would probably take our whole hour to get to read the entire titles. But listen to this: Adoption Therapy, Perspectives from Clients and Clinician on Processing and Healing Post-Adoption Issues. Woo doggies. And The Adoptive Survival Guide, Adoptives Share Their Wisdom and Tools. So on tonight, I want to welcome Lisa Floyd from Indiana. Lisa, are you there?
I'm here, Greg. Thank you.
Welcome to Breaking the Silence. We're glad, so glad you're here.
I'm glad to be here.
And I think you reached out to me. Let's see. You heard, what, a radio show or an interview? Or what was that?
Yeah, I heard you on Avaya on Childhood Trauma Summit. And I was so impressed with your own survival story. So I just wanted to reach out and connect with you.
I believe both the guests tonight was through that, and because of my story, it rang true with some of your stories, and you reached out to me, and it's like, wait, I want to spend some time talking with you. So tell me, Lisa, just in a nutshell, because we are going to be limited time, we're going to be running through this show pretty quick. Tell me what you do. Tell me what you you're a clinician, you're a therapist or counselor, or just tell me what you do during the day.
Yeah, I'm a mental health counselor, and I see clients of all ages, from small children up to elderly adults. And I, like I said, you said so eloquently, I specialize in adoption and brain spotting and complex trauma.
Wow. Okay, with just the issue of adoption, before we get to the last two, because those are going to be huge issues too, we'll talk about. I never really thought about the trauma that those children go through. And so your bio is correct. You was adopted yourself?
Yes, I was adopted when I was 9 days old.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and so how does being adopted at 9 years old cause you identity problems? 9 days old. Okay, yeah. 9 days old. Mm-hmm. Okay, 9 days old. Tell me how that gets inside your mind and your head when you're a teenager, when you're in your 20s, and where you're at now. Explain a little bit of that trauma.
Well, I liken it to, I was separated from my other half at birth. And I grew inside her for 9 months. And when I came out, she wasn't there. And so I knew her heartbeat. I knew her sound, her sight, her sound, her smell. And then that was just gone. And even an infant, you know, can have trauma because they're separated like that. And I found out that I was adopted when I was 4 and a half. And I just still remember the devastation I felt, because I felt like I wasn't wanted. And I've had, you know, really great parents, but I wondered who my family was. Why didn't they want me? Why did they give me up? Who did I look like? Things like that. And there's this trauma that happens in the womb, too, because I knew that my birth mother's pregnancy was very stressful. And they're proving with research now that the little fetus inside is picking up on all of that stress, and trauma causes changes to the brain.
Yeah. We're getting ready. We're trying to get some work done in that at Baylor College of Medicine, Texas Children's Hospital, possibly speaking about miscarriages, the stress that happens inside the womb while a mother is carrying that baby. I want to dig a little deeper with you saying you was missing your other half. How did you mentally connect with that at a 4-year-old age, 5-year-old age, of missing that heartbeat, missing that smell of that other person being your mother? How does that explain that to me a little bit.
Yeah. See, when I was a child, I didn't know. I just knew something wasn't right. I dissociated is how I survived. And that's where you kind of leave your body when things get too overwhelming, where I was so stressed out I was very shy as a child. I didn't really talk to anybody. I was just so deathly afraid. And I didn't know that it was trauma. And my parents did not know about trauma-informed practices and all that, you know, that they didn't know all the things we know now. And so, you know, they were told, well, you know, take her home and love her. She'll be just, you know, just like a biological child. And that was not true because I was grieving my birth mother. They didn't know that. They didn't know how to help me. And I just kind of think I was like a little lost child.
Okay. Now, Lisa, would you have felt that same trauma, that same devastation, if your adoptive parents never told you? You was, do you think inside your mind, mentally and emotionally, you would still have that missing connection, that the trauma would still be there? You really do.
Yeah, I do. And I know adoptees that, you know, we call them late discovery adoptees. They found that they were adopted as adults, and they said they always knew there was something missing inside.
Wow.
Because that biological bond is there regardless. And that little baby knows everything.
Wow. I don't know if that doesn't get people's attention, but they're listening. I can tell right now, Lisa, we're going to have you on again just to dig a little deeper on this.
Okay.
Because I think in all of my travels and speaking, I have never ran across anyone that specializes in this. So majority mm-hmm. of your practice is with different ages that are dealing with the trauma of being adopted.
Yeah, I mean, I see other people with other issues, but yes,
right.
I do see adopted people, yes.
Okay.
And my supervisor, she also specializes in adoption. So there are some of us around.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Is your brain spotting technique or your knowledge on
mm-hmm.
that, did that come into play and you finding that or using that in this area of your expertise?
It definitely does.
Explain it to me.
Brain spotting. Yeah, I do brain spotting with all of my clients. I can explain a little bit about it if you'd like.
Sure.
Yeah. Brain spotting is a brain and body-based therapy that uses eye positions to access trauma stored in the unconscious where it can be brought to conscious memory for processing and where it can be released and discharged from the body. And what I basically do is I hold up a pointer and I ask the client to think about, you know, what issue is distressing to them. And I say, okay, where do you notice that in your body? Rate it on a scale of 0 to 10. And then I move the pointer very slowly, horizontally. And when they notice an activation, which means like their sensations go up and down, then I stop and I'll move the pointer up, you know, vertically. And I say, okay, where do you notice the position at? And we find what's called a brain spot. And what the brain spot is it can focus in on that trauma pocket that's stored where it can, like I said, it can be brought up for conscious processing, and they don't have to relive all the trauma as it's, you know, being discharged from the body. And I see phenomenal things with my clients every day, and I do my own therapy, and I have, you know, I do brain spotting, and it's helped me a lot in my healing from trauma also.
So it's hidden things in the brain that you tap
mm-hmm.
into, and
mm-hmm.
they come to the surface.
Yeah, stored trauma. Yeah, yeah. Because trauma changes the brain. And,
oh,
I mean,
absolutely.
They're proving this. And, yeah, and it can, you know, we can help. Brain spotting is one way to help people to heal from trauma.
Wow. Okay. Now, with your background, with your own personal pain, tell me how, because I always like trying to discover in each of our guests how you brought negative things in your life, turned them into positive influences, impacts on other people's lives. So in just a few minutes that we have left, Lisa, tell me what you experienced in your life, and then how did you decide to go into this kind of work to be able to help other people?
Mm-hmm. Well, I just felt like all of my years growing up, I didn't know who I was because I didn't know where I came from being in a closed
right.
adoption. And I wondered about my birth parents. And I had no way to get to them because the laws were, you know, records were closed here. And I just knew I didn't feel like I belonged anywhere. I felt like there must have been something wrong with me for my birth mother to give me up. And it was just a lot of confusion. And so as I got like into my 40s, I just decided that I wanted to go and help other people because I could see there was a need from connecting with other adoptees on Facebook. I saw there was a big need for adoption competent therapists, which a lot of therapists are not adoption competent and they can do a lot more damage because they don't validate the adoptee's concerns. They're not even aware of what their concerns are. So that just led me to want to go out and help people and let them see that trauma is not a lifetime sentence. I think I'm a living proof in my own life that you can work through some of the darkest times and come out on the other side to help others. And that's what I do every day. And I think the ability, I mean, the fact that I've been able to work through my own things, it helps me to be able to sit with my clients' dark times, and I'm able to be with them in that and help them come through that. And it's a privilege to do the work that I do.
Yeah, I've been talking about this all day today, so it's on my mind. Did guilt or shame have anything to do with what you was dealing with?
Oh, yeah, there was a lot of shame because it's like I said, I blamed myself. I said, well, if my birth mother left me, then there must be something really bad wrong with me.
Right.
And I grew up just with that shame-based nature, and I still deal with that. I mean, I'm still working through things today. And, you know, I'm 49 years old, so it takes time.
Fantastic. How can people get in touch with you? Do you have a way of, if there's some people out there listening all over the world that would like to maybe reach out to you, do you have that availability?
Mm-hmm.
Where would be the best way? Tell us how to contact you, Lisa.
I think my work email is best, and it's lisa@greenhouseindy.com.
Okay, run that through us again.
Lisa, L-I-S-A, at greenhouse, G-R-E-E-N-H-O-U-S-E, indy.com.
Got it. And if people reach out to you, you would respond back to them and maybe answer a question or two?
I certainly would.
Do you have resources, for instance, if there's somebody in Houston that needs some help, if they would contact you in Indiana, would that be something that you could maybe say, hey, wait, there is some adoptive trauma people down here that you could maybe refer
mm-hmm.
them to? Okay.
I certainly can. Yeah,
fantastic.
And I think there might be brain spotting practitioners in that area too. So.
Absolutely. Have you ever thought about writing a book about your own personal experience, or have you?
I have thought about doing a memoir, and that's on my bucket list. So when I have some time, I would definitely like to do that.
Yeah, let's talk offline sometime because I'll give you the pros and cons with that. But I think that would be an interesting, fascinating book that people would be, because I don't think there's that much out there on it. And maybe there is
just
overlook. Yeah.
There's a big need for it. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I believe that. I believe that truly. Well, Lisa, I tell you what, I want to have you back on the program again, but I want to thank you so much for just sharing a little bit tonight of what you're doing in Indiana. And I want to applaud mm-hmm. you of how you're making an impact on so many people's lives and using the trauma that you have endured and still experience in your life to be able to help other people get through their dark times. So I applaud you and thank you for being with us for just a short period of time on Breaking the Silence. I will definitely have you back on, and I want to keep in touch with you, Lisa. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Take care now. We're going to be taking a commercial break right now, and we're on the other side of that commercial is going to be Charlotte McClendon from Houston, Texas, and we'll be back in about a minute and 8.5 seconds.
TI Publishing that brought you the international bestsellers, A Child Called It, and the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, comes the latest book by Dr. Gregory Williams, Shattered by the Darkness. This book describes the horrific abuse that Dr. Williams suffered at the hands of his father for over 12 years, and the damaging effect of keeping everything silent about that abuse for 30 years. If you're looking for that book that you can't put down, then pick up a copy of Shattered by the Darkness by Dr. Gregory Williams at all Barnes & Noble stores, Amazon, and Books A Million. Now, back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams.
All right. At Barnes & Noble, every Barnes & Noble in the country, you can literally walk into the store and pick up one of my books, and the one here in Houston, I am right next to, and this is such an honor, The Child Called It book. It's A Child Called It book by Dave Peltzer. Then there's my book next to it. Right above it is Dr. Bruce Perry's book, The Boy Raised by a Dog. Right below that is an awesome book called The Body Keeps the Score. All right there in the same section. It's just an honor to be in every Barnes & Noble. You can get it on Amazon right now, I believe, at a pretty good doggone price. I think it's less than $6 right now on Amazon. That's cheaper than what I could buy it personally myself. So if you want to get on there, feel free to do that. And I would love to hear back from you after you read the book if you get an opportunity. Would love to have you. You want to call in tonight. I really think you're going to after you hear this next guest. And Charlotte McClendon is from Houston, Texas, and she is the CEO and founder of the IG Way. And I don't even know if that's the right way to pronounce it, but we're going to say that's the way it's spelled anyway. The IG Way, helping people help themselves in Houston, Texas. She called the other night. We emailed back and forth a couple times, and we ended up getting on the phone together. And I believe we talked for an hour, hour and a half straight. And I said, I have to have you on the show. And her story will just open your eyes to what trauma is all about. So I just want to welcome Charlotte. Are you with us here tonight? Can you hear me?
I am, Dr. Williams. Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine and dandy, Charlotte. It's good to hear your voice again, and welcome to Breaking the Silence. And I have contacted, I sent Dr. Lauren Pitts an email, and I hope she's listening tonight. I said, I want to make sure you listen to the show this evening because you're going to be an awesome guest on her show, too. How are you tonight, Charlotte?
I am wonderful. How are you?
Well, I'm pumped about the Astros. Are you pumped about the Astros?
I am pumped.
I'm ready to go. I tell you what, that's so exciting. And it couldn't have been a better game last night. Was that just not awesome?
That was awesome. We're so proud of the Astros, proud that they're Houston home, you know?
Absolutely. Every kid's dream. You play that bottom of the ninth. Two outs, tie game, and stands up and hits a home run. I just love that. That was awesome. Well, we'll talk about sports some other time. I tell you what, Charlotte, good to have you with us tonight. And I don't even know where to jump in here, but I do want you to just let the people know that's listening, and I think they're listening around the world. It's amazing. On this radio network, you can literally get online and watch the red dots pop up where they're listening to the show. And it's literally around the world. It's in Russia. It's in Africa. It's everywhere. The whole world is lit up with little red dots showing that they listened to the program. It's just so awesome. But tell me what and our listeners tonight, Charlotte. What do you do? What's this? Is it IG Way or is it another way to pronounce it?
You were correct. It is the IG Way. It basically stands for Information Gateway. And what we do is, like our slogan says, help people help themselves in whatever endeavors that they have. You know, wherever they see themselves now, we help them, whether it's in a transition in their business life and where they're trying to go, if they have a vision or a goal, you know, or a mission that they're on, we try to help them accomplish that.
Fantastic. And what kind of clientele do you have? I mean, what are these, all ages? Tell me about that.
It's mostly adult age. Mm-hmm. And what we do is help put things in perspective for them. Like we're mainly a company that help grow their business, because, you know, a lot of people that have gone through a lot in their life, you know, whether they consider it success or failure, you know, whether they consider it where I've tried over and over again and just can't get a grip on it. I've gone through the trials and tribulations. Now I'm just trying to make a difference or make my mark in the world. So that's where we come in as Information Gateway, helping people help themselves to get everything in perspective, to show them, to bring their vision and their mission statement alive, to bring it out on paper as well as bring it to the public, to let the public know and see that they exist in whatever they're trying to do, whether it's nonprofit organizations, for-profit businesses. That's basically what we do.
Wow. Okay. Now, you, I believe how we connected was you contacted me through one of the speaker sites and asked me if I would speak at your next year's annual domestic violence awareness program. Tell me about that, because that just happened, right, just a few weeks ago?
It did, and it was a total success. And how do you know that it was a success? I'm so excited, I want to jump right in the middle,
Go
Dr.
For
Williams.
It.
You're going to have to slow me down a little bit, okay?
No, this is fun. I'm enjoying this. I'm excited that somebody else is excited as I am.
All right. But it was a wonderful success. And the gifted people, you know, that were over it were Clifton L. Walker Jr. and Katrina Johnson and Trina Walker, along with a lot of the members in our church. And what we do every year is put on a domestic violence prevention and awareness program. We bring speakers in to not only tell their story, but to help bring someone up and out. Because you never know when a person is on the verge of suicide, on the verge of committing harm to someone else. And you never know, those few words may stop them in their tracks, you know, and allow them to begin to think and process what they're doing and maybe bring them back in. So our program is not just a preached word. It's not just words being put out that are going to return void. We actually have a powerful panelist. People come from different organizations to help us set the atmosphere. And the audience, they listen. They respond. They ask questions. And I believe that a healing process takes place right then and there.
And what do you think, do you attribute that healing to start beginning? What's the beginning note of that healing in a person if they're sitting in one of these conferences with you guys?
I believe the most important healing aspect or position that a person can have is by listening and accepting what they hear. Mm-hmm. And I believe that's what our program does. When we begin to talk, we make sure that we have statistics and different people with their stories of what they've gone through, from victims to victors. You know, so, and then once they begin to listen, now they're getting filled up with this information and saying, okay, if they made it through, they're no different from me. I can make it through. So through our encouraging words, so first they listen, and then they receive, and then they pour out. So that's the step that normally works in our panel setup for our domestic violence program.
How many years have you been doing this, Charlotte?
This is actually our third year.
This is your third year. Okay, fantastic.
Yes.
Now, we're going to we got a few minutes before the next break, so I want to get into this, because I have a feeling this is going to take us all the way to the end of the hour. Are you ready to tell the world about your story?
And, you know, and I would honestly say a part of me says no.
I understand.
But a part of me definitely is ready because it is a necessity, yeah, you know, for my journey to healing. You know, so basically I'm ready. You just give me the go.
Okay. Tell you what, I have a caller. So while you're still thinking on that, we have a caller right now that I think we'll go ahead and bring her online while you kind of take a deep breath, and we'll see what the caller has to say, and then we'll maybe open up and start peeling some layers back of this huge onion, okay? We have a caller. Yes. Doug, put her on the line, if you would. Good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Who am I speaking to?
You're speaking with Betty Dudley.
Betty, and where are you from, Betty?
I'm from Houston, Texas.
Well, fantastic. Go Houston. Okay, what can we do for you? What comment or question do you have this evening, Betty?
Well, actually, I was just calling in to listen in to the program this evening to see what they were talking about.
Oh, okay. So you're just a bypasser that's just going to come in and listen. That's fine. Just welcome to the program and just sit back and enjoy and grab a cup of coffee. And if you have any thoughts, just jump right in, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Thanks, Betty. Okay. Charlotte, what because I think that's what got me so excited and got us talking for about an hour, hour and a half the other night, is you shared just a couple lines. So if you don't want to go all the way with this tonight, I understand and I respect, believe you me, it took me 35 years before I told the whole story. But you said a few words and lines to me that got my attention. And it was something on the order, and I'll hush up and let you take over, but I just want to, if you remember saying this, it was something on the order of, Greg, I wasn't alive. I was dead until I came back. Do you remember those kind of words, those sentences that you said to me the other night?
I do remember, Greg.
And what did you mean by that? By coming back, that you were dead and you was coming back to life, you realized there was more or something, because I felt that same way. Can you let me inside a little bit?
Yes.
Okay.
So here goes, Greg.
It's okay. It's okay. I promise you.
Yes. So, you know, growing up, and I just want to set the atmosphere. Growing up, I had a wonderful childhood. Couldn't ask for a better childhood. I was telling someone earlier, I thought we were rich. We probably weren't. But I didn't know any better because we had everything we wanted and needed. You know, and going into my teenage years, which are very special years, fragile years, my mom married this guy. And everything seemed okay for a while, and I was a bit of a shy, quiet child, believe it or not, you can't tell these days. But I never did really say anything. I was a good student in school, and like I said, just kept to myself. Now, my sister, on the other hand, her mouth ran faster than a race car, you know, so she was outgoing, and I was just the opposite of her. And I said that to say this, because a lot of times you become a victim because of your silence. At least I did. I can't speak for anyone else. I just believe that I became vulnerable because I was quiet.
Yeah.
You know, all the time. It's not good to be quiet all the time. But this man that my mom married, you know, one night, and I imagine that he's been looking at me or trying to get to me for a while, because, you know, I'll hear little things, and you know how you don't pay attention to them or they don't add up just yet. You just look at them like, I wonder why he said that. You know, but one night my mom was at the hospital with my brother. My brother was 9 years old, and he was getting his appendix taken out. They had to rush him into surgery. And my mom told me to go home, but I had a feeling. I was uncomfortable. I said, can I please stay with my grandmother? She said, no, you need to go home because you have school the next day.
Right.
So I went home, and I even sat in the truck for a while. So he went in the house and called my mom and told me that I wouldn't get out the truck. So she made me come to the phone and told me to get ready for bed. So this is the picture. I got ready for bed, Greg, and I don't know why, but I put on layers of clothing because I just felt like something wasn't right.
Something inside.
You know, he came and he knocked on my door. And if I tell you, it was not his voice. I don't know if people believe in a person having the ability to change their voice because they're not like themselves. But he told me in this strange voice, I'm going to get you. So I locked my door, and I felt safe for a while. And, you know, the window in our bedroom was broke, so they had to nail it or put the panel up until they get the window fixed, so I couldn't crawl out the window, so I was basically trapped. And I heard him knock again, and then he began to bang. So he knocked the door loose, you know, and I was 110 pounds, Greg.
And how old are you right now, Charlotte?
I'm 14 at this time.
14. Okay. Keep going.
Yes. So this big guy began to grab me and hold me and wouldn't let me go. Mm. You know, and he was saying all kind of things. He said, I'm going to get you. And then when I finish, no one is going to believe. You're not going to say a word. You know, so we all know what I'm leading up to. I was basically traumatized and raped. And I felt so bad. I felt like I was completely in shock. I was numb because I was watching this, but in disbelief. I said, this is not happening to me. I was saving myself for my husband. This is not happening to me. Even at a young age, I knew that I was going to be married and save myself for my husband.
Wow.
So when he finished, I couldn't move. I don't know how long I sat there. But I was in total shock and disbelief. I didn't even cry. I don't even remember crying. So after that traumatic experience, you know, my mom came home, and I didn't say anything. I couldn't open my mouth. It's like my mouth was glued shut, you know, because all I can hear him say is, I'm going to get you, or if you tell your mom, nobody's going to believe you. And then he also told me, if you tell her, I'm going to put you and her out, then where would you go? So I'm 14 years old with all of this trauma, all these words in my mind, you know, and I'm believing that if I say something, that it's going to get worse.
Absolutely.
You know, and so it did get worse. You know, I ended up pregnant. And I hid it. Oh, I hid it. I don't know how my tummy stayed flat. Maybe because I was 110 pounds, you know, just small. I have no idea. You know, but I hid it until I couldn't keep my secret anymore. My secret told on itself. So I had to come clean. I had to tell my mom. And then it was just trauma from there. At first, my mom didn't believe me. You know, and then I found her sitting in the house with a knife waiting on him because he had left the house. Mm-hmm. And then that next day, my mom took me to the abortion clinic. And the doctor said he could not perform the abortion because I was 6 months pregnant. So now I'm faced with having a child by being raped.
Oh, sure.
Now I'm facing bringing a life into this world that was against my will. Will I be able to love this child, accept this child? So fast forward, when I had my daughter, I didn't even want to look at her. Mm. I didn't hold her or anything. My mom was there, and she took the baby. She took the baby home. She took the baby back to the man that raped me, because apparently by this time, now she didn't believe me. That's how I took it. You know, and, wow. And I was with my grandmother, and then I was with my aunt, so I went from different houses, you know, and not understanding. So when I was at church one night, and I was in the cafeteria, and I sat there, I still remember what I had on. My hair was short and curly. I had on this brown and white top and dress, a skirt. And I died. I felt my mind not leaving where I can't recognize or come back to myself or have my senses or know where I was. Charlotte died.
Okay.
All the ambition, all the dreams, all the adoration, all the joy died that very night.
Okay, Charlotte, we're going to stop you right there. We're going to take a break, and we're going to, on the other side of the break, I want to find out how long that death was inside of you. And I applaud you sharing this story. You're changing people's lives tonight by sharing what's happened to you. We'll be back in about a minute and 10 seconds on the other side of this commercial.
From HCI Publishing, that brought you the international bestsellers, A Child Called It, and the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, comes the latest book by Dr. Gregory Williams, Shattered by the Darkness. This book describes the horrific abuse that Dr. Williams suffered at the hands of his father for over 12 years, and the damaging effect of keeping everything silent about that abuse for 30 years. If you're looking for that book that you can't put down, then pick up a copy of Shattered by the Darkness by Dr. Gregory Williams at all Barnes & Noble stores, Amazon, and Books A Million. Now, back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams.
Thank you, Douglas. I appreciate it. If you'd like to call in tonight or just with a question or a comment, feel free to do that at 1-888-627-6008. We have Charlotte McClendon that is just sharing her story. And here you are in the church cafeteria, and you died emotionally inside. Explain what was going on, then continue on, Charlotte.
Okay. So I know I ended up disconnected both emotionally and physically, you know, existing but not fully living. I was able to function, you know, everyday processes, but I know that I was dead inside. I was able to marry, have four beautiful children, but I was dead.
Okay, well, we're talking years here, so we're not talking about just a day or two of emotional death. You're talking about, okay, you went ahead and, of course, had this child,
three others,
married, but obviously they had the children, and still feeling death. Okay, keep going. Okay.
Yes. So I know that I'm going to fast forward because I know time is catching up with us. But at the age of 36, and this is very significant, I believe in the reason why that I didn't take my life. Even though I thought about it, I contemplated it.
Yeah.
While I was pregnant, at 6 months, I tried to throw myself out of the car. So it wasn't from lack of trying. It just wasn't, you know, that
time. Well, you
time.
Knew,
it
you,
just,
you know that God wasn't going to allow you to do that.
I know that now, but I know that now, but I was still trying.
Yes, I understand.
You know,
okay.
So, yeah. But at the age of 36, you know, I was sitting, I was in the military by this time. I was in the military 15 years. And I remember sitting on my couch coming from the hospital. I was in the medical field. And I was watching television. And I felt something, you know, nudge me like a wind passing by or something. And I know I didn't have the doors or the windows open.
Uh-huh.
You know, and people may say that, oh, you know, she's probably a little bit loony. But I heard a voice. And then I felt my body shake. And that voice said, wake up. Wake up. If you don't wake up, you're going to die.
Okay.
So I didn't quite understand it at that moment, because everything is a process.
Right.
You know, but the voice spoke again and it said, wake up. I didn't even realize I was dead or realize that I was unconscious. You know, I'm looking around and I can see things. I can see my furniture. I can see the walls. I'm up. You know, but the voice said, wake up, or you're going to die. Mm-hmm. And I literally at that moment, and I would say that it was a miracle. But when I opened my eyes, I began to see me. And I don't know how long I cried, because I'm not the type of person that cry. You know, mm-hmm. I'll cry if I'm happy in church or or something like that, but I don't normally cry. But I broke down for the first time in my life, and I cried. I was so weak I could not pick myself up off the floor. But I'm going to tell you this, Greg, when I finished crying, I was able to get up. I was able to see where I was at that particular moment. Mm-hmm. And I knew exactly what I had to do. I had to prepare myself for the flashbacks. I had to prepare myself for the upsetting memories. And by doing that, it caused me to come face to face with what I've gone through and how far that God has brought me out of it. So I had to face myself. And when I began to face myself, I started fighting back.
Did you face yourself? What process did you use to face yourself?
I had to bring back what happened to me because I never dealt with it. I had to walk through the process as it was happening all over to me again because I chose not to deal with it.
So and you know, I have had people tell me this time after time after time that until you get to the point where it's happening to you, it's never going to take. And I probably didn't say that to where it's very clear. But most of the time when I look back on what was happening to me, I was looking down on me and watching what my dad was doing to me until I entered back in my mind inside that child's body and realize it was my dad doing it to me and take that on face to face, like you're saying. That's when reality set into me. It wasn't me looking down on it anymore. It was me realizing it really did happen. So I think you're saying the same thing because our stories parallel so much. So you're doing this face what's going on in your handling and you're battling this. Keep going. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but that's such a good point.
No, this is good, Greg, and I appreciate you for your show, Breaking the Silence, because it helps a lot of people such as myself to continue to come out and tell the story so we can continue the process of healing.
Yeah, every time I tell it heals.
Yes, and much like you, I think it's normal for us to blank out, or however you want to say it, to have an out of body experience, to literally not be there when things are happening to you. You know, and that's basically how I ended up on death's door.
Yeah.
So when I came out of it, I was able to begin to recognize what had happened to me. By going through the process of what happened to me again, I had to reach back in my memory and bring it fast forward to the present. And I had to dissect it, section it off, because it was so overwhelming, I could not handle all of it at one time. So I had to begin the process of thinking up to that moment, what did I do to cause this? You know, was it my fault? Did I say something? Did I arouse him? Did I have the wrong type of clothes on? Did I give him a googly eye? What happened? You know, and so I had to walk through that process. And once I realized that it wasn't my fault, okay, now that's it's right. Not my fault. Now I have been made a victim. Why did he choose me? So you see the different steps that I had to take, even up to the present day, to realize how to continue to come out of that death.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm able to sit here today through the pain and the anguish, the rejection, the guilt, the shame, the loneliness, the sorrow, you know, to talk to you and to talk to millions of people hoping to reach someone to let them know that it doesn't matter how you went through it. The point is that you got through it, or you're getting through it, and you get through it by accepting what happened to you.
Yeah.
Knowing what happened to you, bringing to the realization that it was real, that it happened to you. Now, what is the process in getting out of it? What is the process of beginning that healing? And that's what I had to go through. And basically, that's where I am today. And I've become a much happier person. You know, I've gotten a little bit of my joy back, you know, and I enjoy helping people, you know, through the pain and sorrow, through the violation, the contamination. I enjoy now telling my story, which literally, Greg, you're not going to believe this, but I've only been telling my story for 2 weeks.
Oh, my lands.
Yes. I mean, really telling my story for 2 weeks. I even told it in our women's ministry. And that's not like me. I just gave a quick overview, you know, but my pastor, he said, the only way that you're going to heal, the only way that you can go through the process and go through it in a healing way is to tell your story. And by telling your story, you help others.
And I tell you what, Charlotte, I believe this from the bottom of my heart. There's going to be people lined up every time you tell this story to tell you their story. I have heard hundreds, if not thousands. And every time I hear another person's, I heal more, because I know that I can literally say, God, the reason I went through this was so I could help that person at that time. Thank you. And when I can actually turn what was supposed to kill me into joy and victory and something to help another person, I get the last laugh. My dad doesn't win. The devil doesn't win. This filthy world doesn't win. It's all about helping other people with what we – that's what breaking the silence is all about. Yes. Telling it, not holding it in, because it will kill you if you don't let it out. It will kill you, not only emotionally, but with ACEs and all of this other stuff, it will physically kill you too.
That's right.
So, so just the last 2 weeks, you started to share this. So do you think that your work, your ministry, your organization, your conference is going to have a different look from now on?
I believe it will. And the reason why I say that is because now that I'm in this particular season of actually telling my story through the healing process, that I will be more effectual, more connected or in line with the people that I'm trying to reach out to and help. You know, mine was through fear of not telling, through fear, embarrassment, guilt, shame. You know, those are our enemy, and they weigh down heavily upon us. But when we realize that we have control over our fear, control over not feeling guilty or being ashamed, control over not wanting to break the silence. That's when the process started moving forward so we can help other people heal.
Okay, that's a fantastic story, Charlotte. And again, you need to put that on paper. We need to get this out to the world. Of course, we just did, but to where they can actually read it and process it, lie down and pick it back up and go into even greater detail. So I want to encourage you, write this down and share it. And anything I can do to help you do that, I would love to be able to be a part of that. So we only have a minute or two, and we may have you back on again, because I'm sure there's a lot more layers we can get through on this. Yes. You said you was in the Army, in the military.
Yes.
My boys have been in the military. My youngest son's still in the Army right now. And I know he's listening, and Curtis said, I just can't wait to hear Charlotte talk, because I called him immediately after we got off the phone the other night and said, you will not believe this. Tell me what is in the back of your mind with mission that you want to do with veterans, and how you want to reach out to help them.
So my passion with veterans, my mission is to break the silence with veterans, because I know a lot of times we, the ones that are in the military, we're really not publicized on what's going on in a soldier's life, private life, even while they're on duty and basically what we're going through. I can only speak for myself and the things that I've seen while I was in the military. You know, so what happens in the world happens in the military. Domestic violence do happen. We do have soldiers, unfortunately, that commit suicide. Mm-hmm. They do have programs set aside to help the soldiers when they're going through a domestic violence process or going through a suicidal state. Mm-hmm. But I believe that we can be a lot more effectual for veterans, before they become veterans, because while they're in the military, they're in this closed space where they receive all of this help around their peers and around, you know, their leaders. But once they get out into the real world, because this happened to me, once we get out into the real world, it is so much different. The transition is unreal. So how do we transition from being closed in and trying to help being brought out of whatever situation we were in, you know, because there was sexual assault in the military, there was domestic violence and suicide attempts and suicide in the military. But how do we transition out?
Yeah.
And where is that help for them when they're walking out of the military? And that's what my passion is also, is I want to start a veterans community foundation where we want to reach them coming out, connecting with the military, partnering with them so that transition can continue even as a civilian.
Fantastic. And I want to be part of that, and I will help you in any way possible. And we are completely out of time, Charlotte. Thank you for sharing with the world tonight, your story, and if they need to reach out to you, I hope they do, and I hope that this changes so many people's lives. I'm sure it has, and I can't wait to meet you and work with you in projects in the future. Thank you for being with us this evening, Charlotte. God bless you. I want to just let you know before we close tonight that no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're in, there's always hope. There's always hope. And I think we just heard that from two different women this evening. Don't forget, there's always hope. Make sure you join us next week. Jane Stevens, the founder and publisher of ACES Connection, will be with us. Thank you for being with us tonight with Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. God bless.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1, for the next episode of Breaking the Silence.